Welcome back to Esther on Through the Word, chapter 8 today. Haman, the enemy of the Jews, has been executed, but he can still win. His evil plot to kill the Jews is still in the works, so what can be done to stop it? Verse 1. That same day, King Xerxes gave Queen Esther the estate of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And Mordecai came into the presence of the king, for Esther had told how he was related to her. The king took off his signet ring, which he had reclaimed from Haman, and presented it to Mordecai, and Esther appointed him over Haman's estate. What a reversal of fortunes! Haman was left with nothing, not even a legacy to pass on to his children. He had climbed the ladder of success, but the ladder wasn't leaning against a stable surface. And Haman's entire estate is handed over to Esther, who places Mordecai in charge. Not only that, but the king gives Mordecai the position of prime minister instead of Haman. Now, Mordecai has proven himself faithful and has saved the king's life. Xerxes most likely saw his failure with Haman in his character and is now choosing a wise counselor. Proverbs 11 says, "For lack of guidance a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors." But what good is the full estate and the position of prime minister if the edict to destroy the Jewish nation was still on the books? Esther approaches the king with another request. Verse 5. "If it pleases the king," she said, "and if he regards me with favor and thinks it the right thing to do, and if he is pleased with me, let an order be written overruling the dispatches that Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, devised and wrote to destroy the Jews in all the king's provinces. For how can I bear to see disaster fall on my people? How can I bear to see the destruction of my family?" Esther asks the king to overrule his previous edict. This is the big request that most of us would have expected back in Esther 5 when she first approaches the king. However, God's wisdom moves Esther and reveals to her the best time for the king to be approached. If Esther had not waited, perhaps the king's response would have been less warm to Esther. But it was revealed to him that Haman had ordered the destruction of the Jewish nation on the same day that he was reminded of Mordecai's actions. Believers, it is wise to trust in the guiding of the Holy Spirit. We don't know how all things are working together, and many times the things that God calls us to say and do seem foolish to us. But God is orchestrating everything, even when he doesn't let us know the beginning from the end. As Esther, we must learn to trust in the timing of God. Verse 7. King Xerxes replied to Queen Esther and to Mordecai the Jew, "Because Haman attacked the Jews, I have given his estate to Esther, and they have impaled him on the pole he set up. Now, write another decree in the king's name in behalf of the Jews as seems best to you, and seal it with the king's signet ring, for no document written in the king's name and sealed with his ring can be revoked." Once again, Xerxes allows a decree concerning the Jews to be written in his name, with his signet ring as a sign of the authority of the king. But this time at least he has the full facts. He gives Mordecai the job of figuring out the best way to save the Jews, because as the king says, no document written in the name of the king can be revoked. So, how can this new edict cancel out the previous one? Verse 10. Mordecai wrote in the name of King Xerxes, sealed the dispatches with the king's signet ring, and sent them by mounted couriers, who rode fast horses especially bred for the king. The king's edict granted the Jews in every city the right to assemble and protect themselves, to destroy, kill, and annihilate the armed men of any nationality or province who might attack them and their women and children, and to plunder the property of their enemies. The day appointed for the Jews to do this in all the provinces of King Xerxes was the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar. A copy of the text of the edict was to be issued as law in every province and made known to the people of every nationality, so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. Using some of the same language from Esther 3, Mordecai's edict doesn't cancel out the previous order, but it does give the Jews the right to defend themselves. Anyone who attacks the Jews are now under the same judgment. They could be killed along with their families, and their property would be forfeit. Instead of an open season on the Jewish people, it would be a war, and their families could suffer greatly. The Jews were allowed to assemble together, build an army of defenders, and fight off their attackers. After the reversals of fortune of Mordecai and Haman, you would think that the superstitious Persians wouldn't dare try attacking the Jews. But we will see tomorrow that this is not the case. But for now, the Jews have cause to celebrate. Verse 15. When Mordecai left the king's presence, he was wearing royal garments of blue and white, a large crown of gold, and a purple robe of fine linen. And the city of Susa held a joyous celebration, For the Jews, it was a time of happiness and joy, gladness and honor. In every province and in every city to which the edict of the king came, there was joy and gladness among the Jews, with feasting and celebrating. Mordecai entered the palace a common, middle-ranking official, and walks out clothed as the prime minister. The Jews now have both the queen and the prime minister from their own people, and they rejoice, knowing after a few months of worrying that there is a hope for them. The Jews start to celebrate even before the actual day of battle. Because of the decree of the king, they are assured of victory and can rejoice in it. In the same way, we as believers can celebrate in our assured victory even before our day of glorification. Philippians 1 says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Verse 17 continues, "And many people of other nationalities became Jews because fear of the Jews had seized them." Now, as people heard of the works of God in saving his people, many came to faith in God. They became Jews even before the day of battle. They saw the work of God and decided, even though they would face trials for it, that they would rather be identified as belonging to God rather than being against him. The testimony of the goodness of God brought people to faith. In the same way today, people will respond in faith when they hear of the good things God has done in your life. You have a testimony of God's faithfulness, so share it with others. And don't just talk about the bad things you used to do. Be sure to focus on the amazing things that God has done for you. The day of battle is coming for the Jews, tomorrow on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.